Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, good morning, confirmands. Are you, confirmands, do you like riding roller coasters? How many of you are roller coaster fans? Yeah, okay, all over the place. How about the rest of the congregation? We have some roller coaster fans? Okay, wonderful. Growing up about 30 minutes east of Cedar Point, many summers in the 80s and the early 90s were spent at Cedar Point. And when I was younger, I absolutely loved roller coasters. Key word, younger. But it's amazing, after some time of riding coasters, how you come to memorize a script. You have never seen this script written, but you have heard it so many times standing in line for your favorite coaster that you internalize it, and indeed, I think you have it memorized. It's the pre-ride speech that you hear every time you get on the roller coaster. So could we take one more confirmation quiz, confirmands, today? No? I think this was going to be an easy one, okay? Do you know the speech that you hear before you get on the roller coaster? Fill in the blank, okay? Welcome to the Top Speed Dragster. Please keep your blank in the car at all times. What is it? Hands and feet. You've heard this, sister. You have. And I would say of the 13 of our very smart confirmands, 13 of you actually listened to that command to keep your arms and feet in the car. There might be one confirmand who will name nameless who has struggles with that sometimes. One more. And this one comes toward the end of the speech. Please secure all unsecure items because the park is blank. Responsible for lost or damaged items. Now, can we have another confirmand? Yep. The word is not. The park is not responsible for your lost or your stolen item. You've heard that, right? You have that speech memorized. You know, when I think about the roller coaster speech and the disclaimer that the park is not responsible, it brings to mind my grandmother, who is now deceased 4 years. God rest her soul. My grandmother she loved roller coasters. She rode them into her late 60s. I would dare say she touched about 70 before she retired from roller coaster riding. And I remember one hot summer day in the 1980s, we went to Cedar Point with my grandmother, and we got in line for the corkscrew. We got in line. They gave us the speech about the disclaimer. She got onto the car. And my grandmother, she's a roller coaster pro, so she knew how to secure her purse, her keys, her lipstick. But on this particular day, she forgot to secure something very, very important. Well, after the first hill and the first loop, you know the corkscrew, right, with Cedar Point? Somewhere in those corkscrews, my grandmother's wig, a new wig, gray, you know, the 80s, tight curls, nicely frosted. Suddenly, I just remember I was right behind her. It was like suddenly it was lifted from her head and it was suspended for a moment. It looked like a sick seagull. And then all of a sudden, shoo, it was gone. And I got to tell you, it was no fun pulling into the station with Grandma with a bald head. And she was hopping mad, and unfortunately, they never found the body. They never found the carcass. Might still be at the bottom of Lake Erie today. And she demanded, and this was a new wig. She wanted some reimbursement, some money back for this. But the park, they went back to their speech. The park is what? Not responsible for lost or damaged items. Well, confirmands, it's my job as the senior pastor today, actually, to give you the disclaimer before you stand up here to say yes to your baptism, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to say yes to the church. It is my job to give you the big disclaimer before you kneel and we place hands on you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit is stirred up in your life. It's my job to tell you that the church is not responsible for what might come next after the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the fire of God, the power of the resurrected Jesus with all of its possibilities and power. The church is not responsible after you kneel and we pray in a moment that the Holy Spirit is whipped up in your life. God only knows what's coming next. I think, for example, of this little-known character in the early church by the name of Philip. Philip had hands laid on him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit as he followed Jesus. And after the Holy Spirit filled Philip's life, he found himself moved by the Spirit first to become an apostle, a pastor to Samaritans. Now, I don't know if in your confirmation lesson you learned who Samaritans were. You probably heard about Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, all these groups of early Judaism. You probably never heard about the Samaritans. Who were the Samaritans? Well, the Samaritans were people that were half Jewish and half Gentile. So what that meant practically in the days of Philip, the days of Jesus, was that the Samaritans were despised people. Jews didn't like them, and Gentiles thought that they were losers. Gentiles, non-Jews, thought they were losers. How many of you remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Do you remember the Island of Misfit Toys, right? That's the Samaritans. Nobody wants these people. They are an island of misfit people. That's the Samaritans. But it's the Holy Spirit who leads a quiet, humble guy by the name of Philip to actually go to Samaria, to hear the story of these people, to listen to their longings, and to share with them the good news of Jesus. The Holy Spirit led Philip to a place he never imagined himself going and doing something that he had never imagined himself doing, as many of those Samaritans said yes to Jesus as they found out that they were included within the divine embrace of God. The church is not responsible once the Holy Spirit gets a grip of you. And then in our text today, we find Philip again. He's sent on another mission by the Holy Spirit. This time it's on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And as he goes on this road, he discovers a rich Ethiopian eunuch. And talk about two people who have nothing in common. Philip and a rich Ethiopian eunuch. Why are they different? The Ethiopian is rich, filthy rich. Philip, a servant of the church, he has two nickels to rub together. Philip is from Caesarea, from the land of the Bible, Galilee, near where Jesus ministered. Whereas the Ethiopian was from an exotic place that Philip couldn't even imagine. And then finally, Philip was not a eunuch, and the Ethiopian was a eunuch. Now, this is the little blush moment in the sermon. What exactly is a eunuch? And I asked my son, my confirmand, I said, do you know what a eunuch is, son? And he said, no. And I said, okay, I'll just assume that none of the confirmands know what a eunuch is. Well, do you remember those films from health class? When they show the man and the woman and private parts, let's just say a eunuch is a man without his private parts. Now, why is Luke, the writer of Acts, telling us this? Isn't this TMI, too much information? No, it's very important that we know this Ethiopian as a eunuch, because in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that eunuchs, when it comes to God's people, they are to be relegated to the island of misfit toys. God's people, pure, are to have nothing to do with eunuchs. But now God doing a new thing through the Holy Spirit. God, through Jesus, widening the divine embrace, sends Philip to lean into this man's chariot as they conduct a Bible study on Isaiah. He says yes to Jesus, and he is baptized that very same day. You know what, confirmands? I promise you this. Philip's mommy and daddy, brothers and sisters, cousins and townspeople, none of them could have ever imagined that Philip would be so stirred up with God that he would become a pastor to Samaritans and that he would become one who would push boundaries and tear down walls in order to tell an Ethiopian eunuch that he's included in the church as well. We're not responsible once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life. So I ask you, as I think about it, in this world today, we need a new generation of Philips. In a world that's so divided by religion, divided by race, divided by income, divided by class, all types, even a huge division, even within our church, we need a new generation of Philips who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who are not afraid to push boundaries and to tear down walls, to let every child of God know that in Jesus, they are included within the divine embrace. It's going to be amazing to see how God uses you. So I have to legally ask you this. Please repeat after me. The church is not responsible. Confirmants, the church is not responsible. When the Holy Spirit is stirred up within me, I don't know where God will send me. I don't know what God may ask me to do, but I trust God, and I give my life to God's purpose. May it be so. Thanks be to God.